Okay. Based on everything that we've spoken about in the last 7 weeks, it seemed pretty obvious that in order to violate Bas Mechalef Min HaTorah, you have to try really, really hard. You have to have kosher meat, kosher milk, and cook them together. They're official. And then and only then do you have Bas Mechalef Deraisa, both in terms of all three aspects, in terms of bishul, achila, and anon. Nevertheless, Chazal obviously extended the prohibitions of Bas Mechalef. Chazal were very, very makbid. They made a whole array of different gezeiros in the realm of Bas Mechalef. They prohibited Bisarof, according to Moshe Shalom, it's probably only with the Rabbanan. And they prohibited even Shalobedech, Bishol, you simply have a cold sandwich. And then to make matters, combine the two together, even a cold chicken sandwich with cheese is also going to be a problem. Everything, al chumris and gezeiras in the realm of Bas Mechalef. Why did Chazal pick on Bas Mechalef so much, so many gezeiras in the realm of Bas Mechalef? So the Rambam says that the reason is because Bas Mechalef, their rice is so misleading. Because the Torah seems to be so limiting. It speaks about one case, one unique scenario of Gedi b'cholav imo. So the guy's going to read the Pesukim k'mashmo. They're going to be so misled. They're going to think that the Issa Bas Mechalef Derais is only with a goat, with its own mother's milk. So therefore, Chazal had a kind of knock it over to the other extreme to say that, no, don't make any mistakes, no confusion, Bas Mechalef, any and every kind of any meat and any milk and anything, berch, b'shul, everything is also with Derban, legamri. But then the Gemara in the 8th Pech of Chulin takes this prohibition with the Rabbanan, the Bas Mechalef, even Shalobedech Bishul, one step further. It's I don't want to use the phrase Gzeir Ligzeir, because that the Gemara discusses the possibilities of doing that, but it's clear in the Gemara that this Chumr, these Chumrs with the Rabbanan, Bas Mechalef, even up the ante, even one notch higher. The Gemara tells us that Achol Basel Ayochel Gvina, that if a person ate meat, so forget about not eating cheese together with the meat, Shalobedech Bishul. It itself would only be with the Rabbanan. Don't even eat the cheese after you ate the meat. Ocho basa, lo yochel vina. That's already a chumra midrabanan, that just as you're not allowed to midrabanan, eat them together, midrabanan, you're not even allowed to eat one after another. What in the world is that based on? So here the Rishonim explain, this is not just a gezeira b'alma, that the reason for this prohibition of ocho basa, lo yochel vina is because when you have basa and you're eating cheese afterwards, that is like eating them together. That means api din, we view it as if you're actually eating them together, which again, it's not awesome in the Torah anyway, it's not deferential. It's still awesome at the Rabbanan, but Achol Basar Gvina is just an extension, the corollary of the rule of not eating Basar and Gvina together. Why is that called eating together? I had meat an hour ago, 30 minutes ago. Why is that considered to be eating them together? So that's ready Machlekes and Rishonim. So Rashi says that the reason why the halacha views that as eating them together is because Basar, the Tav of Basar is Nimshach B'peh. Person eats meat, meat has a strong taste to it, so. The guy went around to the shmork, he just had himself some lamb chop or something, so he's got this real juicy taste of meat in his mouth. Now he's going to go have himself a slice of pizza. So that's like eating them together, because he has the tam adovar still in his mouth yet. Now again, this is the Rabbanah squared, cubed 100 times over, but because of the tam of Basar Shebefiv, we view it as if it's eating biyachad. Eating a biyachad is prohibited in the Rabbanah. And the Rambam has a different twist on this. The Rambam writes that the reason why it's prohibited in the Rabbanah is because Abasa ben Shireyam, Rambam makes reference to the Pasuk in Parshas Balos, which the Gemara itself actually makes reference to in that sugya. Abasa ben Shireyam, when a person eats meat, so meat tends to get stuck in one's teeth. So when you're eating the cheese, eating a slice of pizza a little bit later, so that's tantamount not to eat the two together as well. So different opinions of the Gedolei Rishonim as to why Chazal made this Issa d'Rabbanan, but the Maaseh did. Bottom line is, they prohibited, they created this Issa called Achol Basar Vayochel Gvina. So the question that the Rishonim deal with is, and the Gemara itself deals with, the Rishonim have a lot of trouble with, is at what point do we say that this prohibition with the Rabbanan is over? So, Achol Basar Vayochel Gvina, and to what? I had meat yesterday for lunch. Right? I can't have a cup of coffee today. So at what point do you say, one day the Gemara can't, but at what point do you say that this prohibition is over? So there's a very, very confusing Gemara in the beginning of Perek Chava Basar, where the Gemara seems to talk about two totally different stories about how to solve this problem. Look at Kamecha Miskel Mayruf. So there's one part of the sukkah where the Gemara starts to talk about different actions that have to be taken in order to solve this problem. That you have to do something to clear out your mouth. Now again, according to Rashi, the goal is to clear out the taste of your mouth. According to the Rav, the goal is to get out the meat of your mouth. But there's some kind of physical action that has to be done. The Gemara quotes a whole array of possibilities what that is. A whole story. What are the different possible physical actions that we can even discuss? So one of them is called Hadocha, one of them is called Kinuach. So So the simple reading of the words hadocha means you have to wash your mouth out. So take a liquid, take some water, swish it around a little bit, clean out your mouth and chew it. That's hadocha. Then kiduach is you take some kind of a food and you chew it up a little bit, and that cleans out your mouth, that does the job. So the Gemara, the whole Om we're talking about doing hadocha and kiduach, and it's unclear, do you have to do one, do you have to do the other, do you have to do both, it's either, there are different opinions as to what you're supposed to be doing. But the whole thrust of the sugya is having something to do with some physical action. And then all of a sudden, the Gemara changes to, okay, in the middle of the sugya, all of a sudden the Gemara starts talking about the following. The Gemara, the emphasis is no longer on doing action. All of a sudden the change becomes an emphasis on time. How much time has elapsed? Ochel basal, yochel vina. It's got to be a shiur, got to be a time. So the Gemara starts to talk about what the time is. So Ma'ukva is a very, very strange formulation of what the time is. So Ma'ukva says that his father was very, very firm. He said his father was super duper machmid. So his father would wait 24 hours. So whenever his father would have meat, Josh, we were talking about barbecue Wednesday, so let's say by 6 today, so no one can have breakfast tomorrow morning, no one can have milk, you have to milk in your coffee tomorrow, you have to start serving almond milk for everybody on Memorial Day weekend, you can't have lunch for pizza tomorrow. Marukwa's father used to be machmid for 24 hours. So Marukwa says that was a Midas Chasidus. How do I know it was a Midas Chasidus? And Marukwa says that Marukwa described himself, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine, he says. That his father was wine, he was a good vintage wine, I'm like small wine, I'm like vinegar. So Marukwa says, I didn't wait as long as my father did. What do you mean he didn't wait as long? If his father had to wait, if that was the dint, what do you mean? It's like saying, my father was very firm. He kept Shabbos. I'm not as strong as my father. I don't keep Shabbos. So Marukwa, the Amar Marukwa. So obviously Marukwa meant that he wasn't fallible to meet his chassidism of his father. So his father would keep the extra, that tremendous chumrah, that Marukwa didn't do. So what did Marukwa do? So then Marukwa presents to us what he thought was the Ikra did. So no problem, he doesn't tell us what it is. He tells us that my father was so firm, he would wait 24 hours. I don't wait that long. I wait misud l'suda. I wait from one meal to the next. And for me, that's good enough. And that's what the Ikra did is, like Marukwa concludes, misud l'suda. So the problem is, multiple problems. First of all, we have no idea what those words mean. And number two, we have no idea how do you resolve that internal contradiction in the sugya. On the one hand, the Gemara talks about doing actions, and then the Gemara changes tunes and starts talking about time. So is it action, time, both, either, your choice? What exactly is going on in the sugya? So before we get to that basic fundamental question as to which is it, so we have to just fall into a little bit of the definition. So again, kinuach and hadocha, we gave what we think was the right, we hope was the right definition. Kinuach meaning some kind of a physical cleaning out your mouth with a solid food. Hadocha, some kind of cleaning out your mouth physically with some kind of a liquid. But what in the world does the terms mis'udu l'sudu mean? That's even vague, even less clear. So what did Ra'ukva have in mind when he said that it required to wait to fulfill the din of Ochel Basal Nechavina, you have to wait mis'udu l'sudu. So this was a major, major machlokes of Rishonim. So Tosfos quotes in the name of Rabbi Natan, the possibility that mis'udu l'sudu means exactly what it sounds like, the meal, when the meal is over. It means I ate meat, I finished eating meat, I ended my meal. How do you halachically end your meal? If you had bread, so you bench. If you didn't have bread, so you make a bracha chron. Whatever it is, you made a bracha chron, you finished your meal, the meal's over. Now I don't want to have another meal later, 20 minutes later. Whoops, that's a new meal. So that's called misud l'sudu. So I waited from the end of one meal to beginning the next meal. So therefore, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you take the Gemara Kipshuto, so all you have to do is wait misud l'sudu. So I had a barbecue that we all benched, and then we could serve some, I don't know if we have delivered yet, we could have some of the Baskin Robbins ice cream ready, we could have ready Shavuos Kiddush. We can roll it all into one at the barbecue. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's perfectly okay. As long as you bench, you finish your meal, you ate misud l'sudu, then sure. How does that solve the problems, though? The Gemara said that there was some kind of a problem of basar and gvida. Remember, Rashi said it's the tama, the basar and piv, and according to the Rambam, it's the basar shebet shenayim. So, whatever you think the reason is, how exactly does simply benching solve the problem? So, the answer is that the whole thing is only the Rabbanan 15 times over. Minat Torah, none of this is awesome. Minat Torah, as long as it's not basar and cholov that was this bashal biachin in the same pot, it's not going to be the raisa. So these were gezeiros and gezeiros and gezeiros. So the stuff Yesh Kuba Dov, the Chazal said that is the Tam Befiv really Befiv? Is the Basha Shemesh Shadayim really always there? Is it really a problem? The stuff with the Pshat was that Midir Rabbanon, they wanted to make a little bit of a hectic. They wanted people to get as far away from eating Basha Mechav Biachat. So they made a Takana, they made a gezeiros that you shouldn't eat the Mamish Biachat. And then they extended the gezeiros and said you shouldn't eat them close proximity to one another. So they had to formulate the gezeiros in some kind of a normal way to give people some kind of a way to know that that the issue is over. So they said, sure, as long as it's the next meal, that's okay. It doesn't matter. But it's 5 minutes later, 20 minutes later, 6 hours later, 100 hours later. As long as it's besudachas, it's a problem. Once it's besudlusud, then it's going to be permissible. That's the view over a minute. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, that's not what it means. Ochel basal, yochel gvina, besudlusud, it doesn't mean your personal meal because you finished benching. What ochel basal, yochel gvina means is that there's some kind of an objective shear, some kind of objective time, how much time elapses between meals. How much is that? So the Rambam says you have to go back to the person who made the statement. Ma'ufu was the one who made the statement. He said he would wait Mesud L'Suda. So it's not important to know how long some lusky waited between meals. You know how long Ma'ufu waited between meals. I don't have a copy of the schedule of the Seder Hayu at Ma'ufu's house. So how would I even dream? How would I know what time he ate his meals? So we have to go back a little bit to other Gemara's to try to figure out if we have any insight into when Ma'ufu ate his meals. So one thing we know is that Ma'ufa, like everybody else in the world, didn't eat three meals. He only ate two meals. In the olden days, he ate Sudas Boker, Sudas Erev, but the month. And they had food in the morning, food at night. That was the state of Olam until about 20 years ago. Everybody ate breakfast and they ate dinner. He ate breakfast early in the morning, he ate dinner right before it got dark. As it's getting dark, those are the sugyas of the beginning of the second brachos. You don't want to eat supper at 10 o'clock at night because it's pitch black, so you won't have to waste money on candles. So they would eat, as it was starting to get dark. So we know they ate in the morning. They know they ate in the evening. What time did they eat in the morning? So the Gemara gives us a whole list as to what was the Seder Yom. I'm not saying every single person under the sun followed this Seder, but that was the Seder. Basic Seder Yom was, the Gemara says certain people lead at the early hours of the day, certain people lead a little bit later into the day. The Gemara talks about the workers, and the people of the Balabatim, and the workers in the fields, and depending on what the schedule was. So some people had early breakfast, some later breakfast. The Gemara said that the Talmidei Chachamim, they would usually eat B'Shar Shishas. They would eat at the beginning of the sixth hour. You don't want to eat too late into the day. You can eat at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Gemara says, that's not good, not healthy. That's like throwing a stone into an empty barrel. The Gemara says, that's already overbuckled. That's the reason why the Rishabli says that you're not allowed to fast until Chatzos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Taka doesn't say it in the Bavli anymore. The whole idea that you have to make Kiddush before Chatzos, so that's a Rishabli. And the reason for the Rishabli is you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, not allowed to fast on Yom Tov. So if a guy already fasted halfway through the day, it's already 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's already too late. So that's considered to be like a violation, sort of quasi-violation of fasting on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the din of Yushami is that you have to have something to eat, you have something to drink. And the problem is, what are you going to have to drink? Eat or drink? You have to make Kiddush. You're not allowed to eat or drink before Kiddush. According to the Rabbi, you're allowed to eat before Kiddush in the daytime, but we don't follow that Rabbi. It's a secret that we don't follow that Rabbi. So what do you do? So obviously you have to make Kiddush sometime before Chatzos. Then you have to have something to eat. So if you look at Shulchan Aruch, that's all it says. All it says in Shulchan Aruch is that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to make sure to make Kiddush and to have something to eat or drink. So you shouldn't be fasting until after Chatzos. And the post can say, let's say a person had water to drink when he woke up. And he's written in the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to drink water before davening. Even on Shabbos, you're allowed to drink water before davening because that's not called drinking before Kiddush because you haven't davened yet, so you're not really this chayim and Kiddush. Once you finish davening, then you become chayim and Kiddush. So the person who either had a little sip of water before he went to Shul Shabbos morning, or the person who finishes davening 9 o'clock, makes Kiddush and Shoyim, so he fulfilled the din of Yerushalmi. He didn't come to Chatzos. He's not fasting anymore. Yerushalmi doesn't say anything about having Yisudah before Chatzos. That's another story. That's based on the Lashon Rambam. The Rambam presents the Shabbos, and it sounds like the Shabbos is supposed to be divided up into three times of the day. Most of the Friday night Tzudah Balayla, the Shabbos morning Tzudah Baboker, and Shalosh Shabbos B'Tzaharayim. So what's called Baboker? So Baboker always means until Chatzos, that's still called Baboker. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is, we're dying from Lashon HaRambam. And it sounds like the correct time to have Tzudah Shabbos, or Tzudah Shniya, is by Chatzos Hayom. That's already a whole other story. That's not Yerushalmi, that's a different Megillah. So some of them follow this Rambam, and others, many people never heard this Rambam, many people never heard this Aruch HaShulchan, many people don't follow this. Most places they're not so machmir about this Rambam. YU just became a very, very popular chumra, but most the rest of the world is not so, is not as excited about this Chatzos story. Usually this time of the year you can breathe a sigh of relief. It's usually in Chai this time of year. Chatzos yesterday was 12:53. So what we just said, we washed at 12:51 yesterday. Between one Kiddush and another, running around. So I goofed. I thought that Chatzos was 12:58, because I remember we had not been Mincha in Yeshiva 1:30, but this manim already so late that the show's manim is a little bit longer. So as I find myself at 12:51, I realized that we hadn't washed yet. So we washed very, very, very quickly with Chaparayin Kazayas before Chatzos. Anyway, so back to the story. So the Gemara tells us that the Talmidei Chachamim would usually eat their Sudas Boker an hour or so before Chatzot, because they learn first. First they learn for a couple of hours, they daven, they learn for a couple of hours, and then they would get around to having a little late their breakfast. So Maruf was a Talmidei Chacham, so we assume that he probably kept the regular schedule to the Chachamim in Babylonia at the time. And we know when he ate his Sudas Erev, people ate, the Gemara Bracha says, as it was starting to get dark. You don't want to eat too early, you don't want to eat too late, so he ate approximately around close to Shkia time. So there's an interval between, if he had his meal, he had his Sudas Boker close to Chatzot, so he had his Sudas Erev close to Shkia. So if you make a calculation, so that's approximately 6 hours between the two. I mean, give or take, it's not a perfect 6 hours, it was an Erev 6 hours. So that's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, the Rambam writes that you have to wait. Misudah l'suda kishei shos. That's exactly what the Rambam writes. He writes the word kaf. He probably wrote the word kaf because it's not a perfect calculation. Because even the source of the calculation is not perfect. We don't know exactly what time the Rebbetzin Ma'upfa served the meal at 11:38. We're not sure what time exactly Shkia was. The shows Vadius in the winter. So, you can't tell exactly. But approximately kishay shows. That's the way the Rambam formulates the word. This Rambam became very, very controversial because the Rambam wrote the kip, the kafadibian. So there are a whole group of Bachmarinim who had all kind of different kulas based on this kafadibian of the Rambam. The Rambam never really meant 6 hours. It's not a lot of seen 6 hours. They're close to 6 hours. How close is close? So some said close. Another said even further away is not so close. Some said 5 and a half is good enough because that's already a rubik of kulas, already kishay shows. And some said, no, even 5 minutes is also good. Into the 6,000 is also good. You have different nuances of what to do. It's very, very strange. This is something that I never really understood how this played out in the last 50 years or so. I said, if you would have asked most of our great-great-grandparents about how long you have to wait to play, they would tell you 6 hours. I never heard of this. My grandma never heard of such a thing. You wait into the 6 hours. In most communities in Europe, I don't think this was even on the radar screen. But there were Gedalia Peskim who held that it was acceptable. And strangely enough, that some of the great yeshivas in the world today have adopted those views, have adopted that this kula. I'm sure kula, it's a kula that I don't think any of us ever heard of beforehand, but some of the great mekumas, the bastions of Torah, have accepted this kula. Again, the word Gedalia Peskim will make it on this, and because these great places were accepted this kula, so they actually put it into practice, and they said, lunch, and they served dinner this way. But they serve, many of the places serve fleshy lunch, and then they serve milchik supper, and it's less than 6 hours between the two. That's 5 and a half, each 5 and change of time between the two. So I'm talking about big places, I'm not talking about Lebanon. In Lakewood, they make lunch. That's the city of Lakewood. That was the Pesach of Aaron Cutler many, many years ago. That there's no need to wait 6 full hours. You can wait kishay shos, whatever you calculate that. And when they serve the bachur, eat lunch, and then they eat supper. It's less than 6 hours between the two. You have this in Eretz Yisrael also. You have some of the great yeshivas, some of the yeshivas that our boys go to. If I'm not mistaken, I think, I don't want to single any yeshivas. I think some of the yeshivas in Yerushalayim. I think some of the yeshivas in the Rova. I think followed this in Pesach. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Benzel was of this opinion as well. He says it, right? Yeah, Remezel said it, so I think Yeshiva HaKotel and the Tiv, I think all those places that follow his Pesachim, I think that's how they schedule their days. I should have asked his grandson-in-law was here on Friday. He was staying in Tina, can't take care of some business or something. So the person who was staying by asked him whether I wanted to meet him. I said, sure, I'd love to meet him. So we brought him over here. So Friday afternoon, we were talking and learning a little bit. So it was like late Friday morning. It was still not yet Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. So we started, and as God bless, we were talking about something. But then we started talking about this ketzos, and I asked him, kasha, ketzos. And he liked the guy, so it was good kasha. He was thinking about it. He said, nikashel sabam liyan. And he's going to call him. So pick him up. To, I said, I don't know, it's not true. It was like, yeah, half hour before Shabbos, and it hurts his throat. No, chayav l'daber masav. I think it was like, I'm pressing. Yeah, don't bother with trying to get ready for Shabbos. But my God, he couldn't get through, so he didn't pick up the phone. I guess for them, so I didn't think it was that pressing. So he didn't pick up the phone. So no. So I should have asked him about the waiting 6 hours. That was probably less pressing than the concise. Okay, anyway, back to the story. So the Rambam has this lush of kishay shabbos that led to Gedalia Peskim. Now let's go get him. So the those who follow those psalm, right? The follow those psalm. Those who don't. Sometimes when the bochum ask me, I think there's a kind of like a psalm floating around in some places saying that close mind, you're in the yeshiva, so you follow the middle yeshivas. So when you leave the yeshiva, you go back to where your parents' minhag was. It's not that you're changing your minhag. Right now, you've been buying some yeshivas, so you follow what the yeshiva policy is. I don't know. Yes, my son, I'm not sure what he does. I'm like, I'm not sure what the he didn't ask me. So whatever it is. But those who follow the regular Kishay Shos is Kishay Shos Lav Nafka. So why did the rabbi write Kishay Shos? He didn't mean Kishay Shos. He meant six. Why did he say six? So for one of the reasons, either because the whole source is a little bit gray, that was a little bit ambiguous, the whole number six is a little bit shaky. And number two, don't forget, in the Rambam's day, people weren't walking around with their atomic clocks. You know, I'm sorry to report that. How did the Rambam tell time? He looked at the sun. So how do you know it was Shay Shos? It was approximately Shay Shos. Nobody knew exactly. Nobody knew. Can you imagine walking? No one knew what time it was. So what do you think in the shuls they were saying Kriya Shema 9:11 when the Zman was 9:13? Nobody lived like that. They didn't have clocks, so we had to give yourself much bigger buffers. They had no idea what time it really was. So the din is, you have till a quarter of the day to say Kriya Shema. What we do today, that we time Kriya Shema 30 seconds before the Zman, we say Kriya Shema a quarter of the day. He said that's not the way people normally practice, but we have that leisure of having clocks. Mishabur doesn't like it. Mishabur makes fun of it. Mishabur says that's not really right what shuls do. We do it also. Mishabur says that he heard that at some shuls, so they wait till the last, till the buzzer. They say Krishna right before the buzzer. He doesn't think that's right. Mishabur likes the old style. He says the reason we do a mitzvah is not to get up early. And Mishabur is coming, not even early. So he doesn't think it's right. Okay, we have other considerations, other factors that go into our decisions. In Lithuania, the minig was of the yeshivas to be makel of this. The Maisha writes in the Tshuva that the minig of the yeshiva bachur in Lita was always like this. That they were daven close to the Krishma, they were learning all night, and they would get a little bit later, whatever it was, and they were the minion would be in such a way that they would get to the Krishma before the girls by Krishma. They weren't mocked, but in the Magna Brahma's by Krishma, in the yeshivas in Lithuania. So Maisha writes the yeshivas. Anyway, back to the story. So when the Rambam writes Kishay Shos, the Rambam probably just meant that time in the olden days wasn't measured like as Kichut HaSara. So a guy sitting around trying to figure out when did they have fleshes. So he's not checking his watch what time they had fleshes. He's trying to be shy. I remember when they had fleshes, the sun was about halfway up in the sky. And now the sun's almost down in the sky. So that's Kishay Shos. So that was a Takana. But the Takana was enough to be Medayik Kichut HaSara in terms of the timing. That's why I think the Rambam was Lishitasa, the Rambam was Chanukah, when he writes how long the Chanukah candles have to burn. So the Gemara doesn't give you a time. The Gemara says, Ashatikha Regum Rashuk. You have to light the candles so that they burn long enough so all the people who are still in the marketplace are going to see it. So the Gemara says, Ashatikha Regum Rashuk. So the Rambam writes, Kichatisha. The Rambam writes approximately half hour. Why does the Rambam write Kichatisha? Because no one's sitting there with a stopwatch to figure out exactly 30 minutes to the second. It means approximately, give or take. You light your candles, the Ram lit his candles, the Shekinah, the Ram says, you look around, you see, that's where they're going for. People are still walking the streets, and it looks like the Erech, a half hour, that's good enough. But the Tachanot Zachavim was not with such precision measurement. That's not the way Chazal spoke. Anyway, back to the story. So we have a little bit of a definition as to what Yisud L'Sud means, either Tosfos or in Tom's version, that it means just bench and then go and eat milk right afterwards. Or you have the Rambam's version that needs a certain amount of time, and the time corresponds to possibly what Mrs. Lusud is.
Is she shows
we usually assume that Sheshel's Taka is not Shos Manias. We usually assume that means regular 60 minute hours.
So when the Amor is saying he's waiting for.
It was all right. That's the thing. The whole thing was approximate because different times of the year, it's different times. Right. The whole thing is very, very, very ambiguous. Right. Is there any other possibility besides the two extremes of Tosfos that it's benching and then there's really no weight, or the round that it's Sheshos? So there is a third sheet that is floating around in between the lines that is very unclear as to plug into where it came from, to identify precisely where it comes from. And that some have ascribed this view to Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Talmud Mavuk of the Rosh. There are those who claim that Rabbeinu Yerucham says that you wait 3 hours, not 6 hours. Though the problem is that in the later years, they realized that it was probably a Tosafot in the manuscript. That's not what he said. He probably said 6 hours. They didn't really say 3 hours. But there was this idea floating around of 3 hours. Whether it appears in any Rishonim or not is not at all clear. It has been associated with many people in the Yiddish community, not all, but many in the German community have this tradition of waiting 3 hours, which is also very, very unclear where this magic number comes from. So we didn't get anywhere near the 1 hour yet. That's going to be a whole other pasha. But this middle number called 3 hours, what does that correspond to exactly? It's not the Rebbeinu Tam, it's not the Rambam. So some of the later Chareinim write that maybe it's the Rambam, but tailor-made a little bit. That means it's basically the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara that you have to wait Mesud L'Suda, but Mesud L'Suda doesn't, Marufa wasn't talking about himself. He wasn't saying how long he waited. He was saying that each person has to wait. Whatever their normal, that time and place is, that's considered to be the Mesud L'Suda. So if you live in a place where you have, let's say, smaller meals, in the days of the Gemara, they only had 2 meals. But let's say you live in a place where they have 5 meals. So you have a little early breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning. Then you have a little coffee break at 10:30. Then you have a little lunch at 1. You have a little tea time afternoon, a little snack at 4, and then you have dinner at 7. So let's say you have those kinds of breakups of little meals during the course of the day. So then maybe that's also called some of the Achronim, right? That maybe that's where the minhag in the Jewish communities came from. That there was some place they used to have these smaller meals intervals during the course of the day. So they felt that was included in the statement of Amalekut. That was the Mesud L'Suda. So it's not the Rambam Mesud. The Rambam tells you an objective number. Again, the Rambam doesn't give you to a split second. It's Kishei Shalos, but the Rambam does describe it in terms of a large quantity of time, like the Derech HaMaruf and the Menachem days of the Gemara was, whereas this other opinion that whether it is Rabbeinu Yeruchim, not Rabbeinu Yeruchim, somebody said it, somebody follows it, whatever it is, though it's probably a Rambam watered-down version of a Rambam that you need Mesud L'Suda, but Mesud L'Suda can be defined by the time and place. The problem is, if that's the case, so then that made sense if you lived in a place where they really had these different meals. So maybe in Germany, in the 1300s, they don't know, in America, we have 5 meals a day. We eat 3 meals a day. We don't really have, you have a coffee break at 10:30 in the morning. That's a meal. Unless you have a nice piece of cake with it. I'm not sure at what point you say something is considered to be Mesud L'Suda if you're going along the lines of this Mesud L'Suda. So again, that's the third sheet that's kind of hard to understand, but the two basic sheets that we showed them are definitely the Rambam and Tosfos.
There was
it's a little bit of a strange thing that Schwab, who was the Rav of the German community, would tell people to wait 6 hours, whereas other Rabban who were not members of the German community who used to wait, waited 6 hours, when people would ask them, they would say, no, you follow whatever you're going to go, so you follow 3 hours. It was a little bit of a strange phenomenon flying around. But yeah, that's true. What happened was that this third sheet, that wherever it comes from, as becoming a disappearing phenomena in the world for just simple demographics. I said, a lot of boys who come from German backgrounds, so they go off to yeshiva, and then they end up kind of becoming, they pick up many of the hanhagas of the yeshivas that they go to, the 5.5 or 6 or whatever yeshivas they attend. So those, they end up, leaving the fold in terms of the 3 hours. And then you have all the girls who get married to non-Yakisha boys, so they will lose the minhag. So we have to 2-3 generations, and I haven't done a demographic study of this, but I imagine there are less people today who are doing that than, it's like Tefillin HaChalamot. Like years ago, half of high school were wearing Tefillin HaChalamot, and in the last 30, 40 years, so the numbers went down. So as the Yakis were the biggest, they were the diehards in terms of wearing Tefillin HaChalamot, but many of them, some of them moved to Eretz Yisrael, and some of them picked up the human hug and hugged Yagra, and other things. Maybe some became Hasidim, I don't know exactly what happened, but somewhere along the line, so they once you start dwindling away those numbers after 2-3 generations, nobody left. So I imagine that's what's happening. So the way the trajectory is, there aren't going to be too many people left for the 3 hours in too many years from now. So yeah, so those are the two basic sheetahs in the Rishon. We still didn't understand the third sheetah, that the Rambam actually quotes, that the Rambam actually thinks it's the Ikra Din, that's called waiting 1 hour in the whole world. What does that do, I think? That doesn't appear in the Gemara B'chlal. So we need a little bit more work to figure out where in the world that comes from. So when we still back to the really basic question, the really fundamental question the sugya is the stira galuya between the two suggestions of Chazal. How do you solve the problem? So one half of the Gemara talks about waiting whatever you're waiting for, either for benching or for X amount of hours. And the other half of the sugya talks about doing some kind of action. So which one is it? So Tosis quotes a Gabbalah Kula. Tosis quotes, it's either or. It's your choice. Tosis says, the Chazal will give you a Kula. You can do, you want to go down, you want to wait, you can wait. Let's not forget, according to Tosis, waiting isn't all that long anyway. Waiting means benching. So you want to wait, you want to wait. And if you don't even want to bother benching, you're too big of a rush. So just wash it out. That's also good enough. So according to Tosis, either one of those two things is gonna do the trick. So the Rambam says explicitly not that way. The Rambam writes that the reason why they're two different sugyas is because they're talking about two different things. One is talking about going from Bosar to Gvina, and the other is talking about going from Gvina to Bosar, to Lagami different sugyas. So Bosar to Gvina, So that's what the Gemara says. You have to really, really wait a long amount of time. You have to wait Mesud Lesud. Rambam says Kishay shows. Why is that so important to wait so long? So that's the Rambam Shadasa. The Rambam says, because you have Basa Ben Shineim, you got meat stuck between your teeth, so it's going to take time for that to get rid of. Now, the truth is, you may still have meat stuck between your teeth 6 hours later, but the Rambam says, if it's sitting between your teeth for so long, it's already nifsal, it's chamias already, it lost the status of Basa. So the Rambam says, you got to wait, whatever you think Kishay shows means, you got to wait to get rid of the problem, to solve the problem of Basa Ben Shineim. When you ate cheese, you had milchik, so there's no Basa Ben Shineim, there's no pizza Ben Shineim, so what is it? Other things, maybe it's a tom a little bit, a little taste a little bit, maybe Rashi's idea a little bit. So the Rambam says, for that, yeah, big, that's no big deal. Hadocha, kiruch hadocha, do the trick for that. Take a piece of bread, you know, chew up a little bit, get rid of the taste, take a cup of orange juice, and you swish it around, get rid of the taste, and you're good to go. So the Rambam says, the reason why the sugya talks about two different things, not like Tosfos says, because the Gemara is being very, very naked and saying, whatever you want. We're very, very easy. You want to do this, you want to do that. Either one is good. Now, says the Rambam, not either one. We're talking about different scenarios. One's talking about going from meat to milk, one's talking about going from milk to meat. So, according to the Rambam, when you go from gvina to basar, you can't just stop going from gvina to basar. You have to have something in between. There's something in between has to be kinuach v'adocha. The reason why Tosfos didn't buy into this pshat of the Rambam is because Tosfos writes that you don't have to do anything from going from milk to meat. The Gemara says, ochol basar liyochol gvina, ochol gvina yochol basar. So Tosfos says, "Achol v'di yochol basar." You can have cheese and then have meat 2 seconds later. And the Rambam says, "No, no, no." What the Gemara means is, "Achol v'di yochol basar." You don't have to wait 6 hours. Of course, you have to clean out your mouth. So that's a big, big machlokes. This is no gelam ma'is for Shavuos. This is next Sunday's Shaila. So the Rambam quotes that the old practice in Europe used to be that they would come home from shul, they would have mekiddush, they would have challah, and they would have a milchik food. They'd serve their cheesecakes and their cheese bunces, whatever they would serve milchiks. And then they would clear off the table, they would clear off the challah, bring out another challah, why'd they bring another challah? To make a zeicha for the shtel lechem. And that's what the Rambam, right? That's the whole reason for eating milchiks in the first place, says the Rambam. The whole reason was to force you to bring out an extra challah roll onto the table so you should remember the shtel lechem. What happened today? Everyone loves the cheesecake and the blintzer so much, they forget to bring out the meat, they forget to bring out the second challah, they forgot the shtel lechem. So the whole goal of the minig, the Rambam says, just self-destructed. You accomplish nothing. There's no minig, there's no mitzvah without milchiks and shavuos. The minig was to have shtel lechem. That's what the Rambam writes. And others disagree. Others say, no, the minig was not to have milchiks. Those people don't do the Rambam in the Yeshiva Lusvah. But the Rambam writes that the original minig was to have milchik, to make kiddush, to have a challah, eat some milchik foods, then to clear off the table, and take clear away the challah, bring out another challah, and then have a regular flesh of lunch. That was the original minig that the Rambam quotes. So the post can write, you have to be very, very careful. If you follow that minig of the Rambam, you have to make sure to clean out your mouth properly. According to Tosfos, you don't do anything. According to Tosfos, you can have your cheesecake, and then 10 seconds later, you can have your barbecue. But according to the Rambam, you have to clean out your mouth properly. So it would be such a chaval and a shavuos that you're not observing the din of Basmachol properly. But again, that's what the Beis HaLevi writes, that he thinks that the whole reason for having the milchis and shavuos was to force you to keep Basmachol properly. It's to make you clean out your mouth. Why? To show that we keep the din of kashrus. Because the Malachim said that they wanted the Torah, and Rosh Hashanah said, you don't get the Torah because you're not Gashmir, we're Gashmir. So the observance of the Kashrus is the greatest proof that we're entitled to the Torah. So we dafka go out of our way to have milchiks and fleshiks at the same meal, and we all kind of kunsum, but we clear off the table, and wash our mouth, and wash our hands, do everything, all these games to play to show how makbid we are in the Kashrus. So again, but that's playing out this Manasana, I can't tell you, but that was the Beis HaLevi actually thinks the whole minig for the milchiks was in the first place. But back to that story. So here we have Mamash Machlokes, Merkotz Lakotz, between Tosfos and the Rambam. How do you resolve these apparent steamers of Gemara? Are you supposed to be doing action? You're supposed to be waiting times? According to Tosfos, it's either or. According to the Rambam, no, one is from Basel and Gvina, the other is from Gvina and Basel. Hopefully, Mitzvah, not next Sunday, but hopefully, Mitzvah in 2 Sundays from now. So, unless anyone wants to come at 8:39 for a Shia Basmachal, maybe we'll be reunited to do a Basmachal, but the Shia's not going to happen. Okay. That's in like 2 weeks from now. Yeah. That's enough. That's ready. That's ready much later on. That, you're in the